We have once again been blessed with a sacred outpouring of the Spirit. I hope you will repeatedly study the messages of this conference throughout the coming months.
The basic pattern is to identify the fundamental doctrine or principle that's being taught, find any invitations associated with and related to that doctrine or principle, and then also recognizing the promised blessings if we act in accordance with that invitation.
Welcome to Words of the Prophets, a podcast where we discuss the latest talks from the General Conference of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. My name is Todd, and today I have with me my daughter, Aaliyah. How are you today, Aaliyah?
I'm doing excellent. How are you?
I'm doing great. Any conference invitations you want to follow up on?
Yes. Last week, we discussed, I'm forgetting her name, the lady's talk about...
Sister Dennis.
Yes, Sister Dennis. And one of the invitations I pulled from that I felt, like I really needed to work on was digging a little deeper in just in general, but specifically in my studies, which by the way, that song that I sang is from Princess and the Frog, just in case you didn't know.
Let's hear it again.
You gotta dig a little deeper.
Nice.
Anyways, so that's what my goal has been this week. And it has very much transformed the way I've been studying, that my studies were lacking a little bit, and I've been trying to make them a little better, but I just couldn't seem to. So this week I spent more time reading footnotes and going down rabbit holes and looking up definitions and writing things down. And I would often just read something and I would just sit with it for a couple of minutes and just think about what I had read and then write something down and then move on. And it was very helpful.
Awesome. It sounds like now that you're digging a little deeper, you're almost there.
Yeah, you might say that.
Sweet. Okay, that reminds me of my invitation, Aaliyah, which is I've been working on going to the temple, but the background invitation I've been doing for a long time is scripture study. I have been studying scriptures on the treadmill for a half hour for a long, long time. I recently, about 3 weeks ago, switched up my workout routine and spending more time lifting, less time walking, and it has majorly impacted my scripture study. So now I'm trying to figure out a regular routine. I'm still mostly getting it in, but it's harder. I'm doing, 10 minutes in the morning and 10 minutes later in the day. And then as I sort of right before I go to bed, I read some more or I listen to something in the car. So it's broken it up. It's been a challenge. And the main thing that has fallen off the radar is the memorizing of scriptures, which I was doing really good at and had started at the beginning of the year. So I'm trying to put all that together with my new workout routine, trying to figure that out. The temple part is going really well. Deanna and I are going weekly. We couldn't make it this week on the night we scheduled because Deanna was sick. So we scheduled for another. I canceled it and then tried to schedule for another night. And man, everything was full. And normally it is not that way. So apparently everybody got the same thing from conference. And they're all going to the temple. We were able to figure one out and get out there and go to the temple. So it did work out. But wow, was it ever hard to get an appointment this week. So, all right. We also have with us today Rivka and Burke. How are you today, Burke?
Doing great.
Great. Any invitations you want to follow up on?
Still working on my topical guide study of Jesus Christ, and I did more of it this week than on previous weeks, so a little pat on my own back there. It's coming well, and like everyone else in the church, I'm praying vocally and hoping to get back to the temple more, although again, it's closing here at the end of this week
for
5 weeks, so we'll see. But my parents, who go to the temple every day that it's open, would also agree it's gotten really tough to get in since conference, so.
Yeah. Yep. Awesome. Well, had an impact, right?
Yeah.
I'm also working on the vocally praying, but not doing such a hot job. That is a hard habit to break. It
feels so weird.
It does. It's different. Rivka, how are you today?
I am mostly good. About an hour ago, I realized that I think I'm coming down with whatever my daughter had this week.
Oh, no.
So it's okay. I mean, it's fine.
I hate
it's
that feeling.
A little bug. But yeah, it's like all of a sudden you have this, sinking like, oh no.
It's coming.
The next couple of days are going to be rough.
Yeah. Well, Deanna just is pulling out of hers, so I guess it's that spring cold time of year. So.
Yeah.
Any invitations you want to report on?
Yeah, I totally forgot about the praying out loud one. I've got to think about that. The invitation that I took was Sister Dennis's invitation to study the talks of President Nelson, and she says, learn from his teachings about the beautiful blessings and increased power and capacity that can be yours through making and keeping covenants with God. So I read through one of them this week, just highlighting those things, blessings, increased powers and capacity. There are so many. I read the talk, The Everlasting Covenant, and there's like 24 different things in this one talk. So, yeah, she named six different talks, so I'm going to go through them. But I was pretty impressed looking specifically for those things. There, he just, like, it's just full of them. He's just shoved them all in all over the place. So, pretty awesome.
Yeah, he is like an invitation and blessing machine, right?
Yeah. I mean,
he just constantly referring to all the blessings that we get and giving us tons of invitations. So that's fantastic.
Yeah. When you brought that up, I just pictured a Far Side comic from years ago where it's a classroom and one kid has a really small head and he raises his hand and he says, can I be excused? My brain's full. So, yeah.
Indeed.
Yeah. Well, and this talk is the one where he first talked about Chesed, which they've continued to talk about. So
yeah,
there's that whole section in there.
Have you read Carrie Mulestein's book on that?
I am partway through listening to it. I'm also partway reading through the list of references that I received from him from last August when I was at Education Week. So I'd probably better finish that out so that by the next Education Week, which is coming up in just a few months, I'll have done that. Anyway, yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, that there's a mountain of things to study, right? This study could just go on and on. So
delightful.
I have not yet. I have it still. The tab is open in my Gospel Library app. The other invitation I'm working on is studying Doctrine and Covenants 109. So hopefully I'll get to that this week. So, okay, awesome. Well, we're going to move on to our talk for today, which is Covenant Confidence Through Jesus Christ by Elder Ulises Soares of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. He is Brazilian. I tried very hard not to pronounce it with a continental Portuguese accent and use my best Brazilian accent. So hopefully I did justice there. And in this talk, he talks about how we can feel confident in the Lord and in ourselves. And I want to highlight one sentence and ask Aaliyah about it. He says, this confidence is quiet, yet certain assurance, is the quiet, yet certain assurance of receiving the blessings that God promises for those who keep their covenants. Aaliyah, that sounds an awful lot like the definition of what?
Hope.
Did you think of that as you read this talk? Did you think of the word hope?
The second he said confident, yes.
Yes. And so he didn't say the word hope, but to me, this was a talk about hope. It really was, because that really right there is a fantastic definition of hope. So let's go on to our fundamental doctrines, and we'll just start with you, Aaliyah, assuming that you're ready. What was your fundamental doctrine?
Wow.
My fundamental doctrine comes from...
Did you hear the little pause? She's not ready. She wasn't ready. She's finding
out.
No,
I was ready.
Okay. All right.
You're the one delaying me is what's going on.
That's true.
Anyways, he says, as we change our preparation to enter the temple, we will change our experience in the temple, which will transform our lives outside of the temple. And so his talk is about covenants in general, but he spends a lot of time focused on the temple and the covenants we make in there. And so when we change the way we prepare for those covenants and to keep those covenants and to remember them while we are worshiping in the temple again, we can change what happens inside the temple, the experience there. And then that in turn changes us and the lives we live outside of the temple.
Awesome. So just read it for me one more time, because it's sort of a sequence there.
As we change our preparation to enter the temple, we will change our experience in the temple, which will transform our lives outside of the temple.
Okay, so how can you, or maybe generally we, change our preparation to enter the temple?
Some little simple things that I do when I go to the temple every week, having already made those covenants, right? So I'm not preparing to go for the first time, but just preparing to go again. I listen to Sunday music on the way there, like hymns and things like that. And I will always go in. I'll try to always go in with a question of some kind or seeking something, so that I'm not just kind of randomly going in willy-nilly just because, but I'm going in for something. And so, yeah, those are some things that I do.
So getting in the right spirit, bringing a question, how has that transformed your life outside of the temple?
Well, for example, this morning I went to the temple and I brought a question in, and inside I got an answer. So now I get to go act on that answer, which changes it. Not only applies directly to that situation, but also increases my faith that God has a plan and is willing to reveal it to me, which can change literally everything else in my life, knowing that.
Awesome. Amen. I love that answer. That is fantastic. And so in a way, you brought it back around, Aaliyah, to the idea of confidence. Although the statement could be very general, like prepare to enter the temple, that'll make your experience better, which will make your life better. Then he even follows that up with the statement, then shall thy confidence wax strong in the presence of God. And you just said, you know, it increases your faith and trust in the Lord. So it's all one big circle. Okay. Let's see, Rivka, let's go to you. So what was your fundamental doctrine?
Well, mine is kind of the bookend to Aaliyah's at the end of the talk. He says, the house of the Lord is where we can be transformed in higher and holier ways. And then he says, I assure you that having the spirit of the Lord's house in us changes us completely.
I like it.
Yeah.
So how does that happen, Rivka? How does having that spirit within us change us?
Well, for me, it heavily affects the focus of my life. And it, when I more regularly attend the temple, my ability to, we say things like it increases my ability to withstand temptation or, you know, those sorts of things. But what that functionally looks like in my life is generally less irritation with what feels like an overwhelming list of gospel things I need to be doing. Do you know what I mean? Like it makes me more grateful for my calling, and it makes me more anxious to be in the scriptures and trying to live up to the covenants that I'm making, because when I regularly attend the temple, I'm regularly being reminded of the power that keeping those covenants gives me and the blessings that I can have. And I really want those things.
So it helps be less of a checklist and more of a witness.
Yeah.
Awesome. I love it. Okay, Burke, let's go on to you. What was your fundamental doctrine?
All right. Well, I just would like to bring up that I could mark the same fundamental doctrine as Aaliyah from a different part in the talk. He says exactly the same thing twice.
Oh, does he?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she read the one from the end. There's one in the middle. And the only difference is he says, if we change our preparation.
Oh. So I did not know that. Himself.
However, I marked a fundamental invitation instead. Ooh. From the very first paragraph, he says, I pray that we may be spiritually renewed by the inspired messages from our leaders this weekend and rejoice in what I love to call covenant confidence through Jesus Christ. After that, he goes to define it, which you already read, but I loved that invitation right at the beginning to be spiritually renewed by the inspired messages. And even though he says this week, I think he means the messages from this weekend, but I don't think he meant only this weekend. So yeah, that's the invitation. I think part of our preparation to go to the temple would be immersing ourselves in the talks from General Conference If anyone can think of a way to do that, just let me know.
Okay. I have a podcast I'm going to recommend to you after this, Brooke. I'll send you the link. Awesome. I did not think of it that way, Brooke. I really like that. That general conference is a way to improve our preparation for the temple and, you know, along those same lines, increase our covenant confidence in the Lord or through Jesus Christ. So fantastic. Okay, let's go back to Aaliyah. Aaliyah, so what else stood out to you about this talk?
There's so much, just all over. Let's do this one. He says, "Dear brothers and sisters, those who gain genuine confidence in the covenants made in the house of the Lord through Jesus Christ possess one of the most powerful forces that we can access in this life."
That was a very strong statement when I yes. read that. I was wondering, so tell me, what does that mean to you? So, something so powerful.
To me, it's hard to word this because it's just such an inherent part of my life experience, I guess. As we have confidence in God and trust in Him and hope in Him, then we tend to do things accordingly. So if I make a covenant and I act on it, I see the blessings, I feel God's power, and then I recognize that, that's unstoppable. Nothing can stop me from following God because I've seen it work, right? I have that confidence that through Jesus Christ, God is giving me access to His literal power because of these covenants. So why would I stop keeping them? And so that is one of the most powerful forces that we can access in this life.
Amazing. So as you've kept your covenants, you've felt something that's so powerful that it has become just a part of who you are, this confidence in the Lord.
Yes.
Awesome. There's a song that I came to mind as you were talking about that. Nothing can stop us now.
Yeah.
Did you
exactly.
think of the same thing?
I did.
Awesome. I love it. I think I was referencing a podcast about a therapist, you know, who talked about uncertainty and her experience guiding someone into their 30s. I think the same sort of thing applies here. Like the something that brings us anxiety and angst and emotional and spiritual turmoil is uncertainty. And I've often heard people say that faith and fear are sort of opposites or can't coexist together. And I think what Elder Suarez is saying here is that if you have uncertainty and you don't know what's going to happen, that's natural. It's part of your life. Everybody has that because it's just life, right? But if you have a covenant relationship with the Lord, the thing that is certain is that He's going to be there with you. And so whatever happens, it's going to be okay. And President Hinckley used to talk about that all the time, that things will work out. It's going to be okay. And he had that covenant confidence in the Lord to just keep putting one foot in front of the other and trusting with the outcome. So love that. Thanks, Aaliyah, for sharing that. That was a powerful testimony. So let us go on to Burke. Burke, what else stood out to you from this talk?
Well, so he talks a lot about this covenant confidence. And then as I was listening to it, I was like, well, that's all well and good, but how do I get that? He says, how do we gain such confidence through Jesus Christ? It comes through humility. And I was kind of like, wait a second. We get confidence through being humble? I don't know. In my brain, right at first, it doesn't seem like those things go together, but he continues on and says, centering our lives on the Savior, living by the principles of the gospel of Jesus Christ, receiving the ordinances of salvation and exaltation, and honoring the covenants we make with God in His holy house. And I think this is one of those times where the way God blesses us with the thing we need doesn't make sense in the worldly sense. It just doesn't.
Absolutely. Well, so explain that more to us. How does humility lead to confidence?
Well, I think in this case, if you're humble enough to decide, I'm going to do what God requires, as opposed to doing what I think is the right thing or doing things my own way. And so you, and what God requires is those things that were set in place and taught by the Savior. And so you start doing those things, and then God changes you. He gives you the confidence. He makes you a different person. And so your humility is required in order to get on that path and do what's required. And then you get changed through the atonement of Jesus Christ.
Awesome. So with humility, your center of confidence moves from yourself, which is inherently temporal while you're here on this earth, and therefore not a firm foundation, to the Savior, who's a firm foundation.
Yeah. And this reminded me a little bit of a talk we'll talk about probably next week, Elder Eyring, when he's just come out of the temple, he and his wife, and find out that they can't even get to their kids because the dam burst, and he's able to sleep that night. And his wife's like, how are you sleeping? He said, well, because of the temple, everything will be fine. That kind of confidence where you're like, well, God's in charge and I trust God.
Yeah. Amazing.
I don't have that, but it sounds great.
So what are you going to do to get that confidence, Burke?
I guess I need to be more humble, and I'm just going to focus on trying to live my life by the principles of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you're like, well, how do you know what those are? And the answer is, I'm going to immerse myself in the scriptures and the talks from General Conference.
Indeed. It comes back to the fundamentals, right?
It does for me.
Love it.
Until I conquer them. I haven't conquered them yet, but
I'll let you know. Once you have finished your journey of faith and repentance, you let me know.
I'll be ready to move on to a third thing. Yeah.
Almost there. All right, Rivka, let's move to you. So what else stood out to you about covenant confidence?
He talks about how the phrase holiness to the Lord is inscribed on the front of each temple. Mm. And then he gives these really great, these like two great paragraphs where I feel like he illustrates really well the sort of iterative growth that happens as we continually try to keep the covenants that we make. So he says, when we enter the Lord's house, we embark on a sacred journey of learning to become higher and holier disciples of Christ. As we make covenants in holiness before God and commit to follow the Savior, then he lists some things. We receive the power to change our hearts and renew our spirits, to deepen our relationship with him. We receive sanctification to our souls. We form a sacred bond with God and Jesus Christ. We can inherit the gift of eternal life. And in doing that, he says, the result of that journey is that we obtain a holier and higher confidence for our day-to-day lives. And then the next paragraph, he says, such confidence is the pinnacle of our divine connection with God, and it does these things: increases our devotion to and gratitude for Jesus Christ and his atoning sacrifice. It fortifies our ability to love and serve others. It strengthens our souls to live in an unholy world that is increasingly dark and discouraging, and it empowers us to overcome the seeds of doubt and despair, fear and frustration, heartache and hopelessness that the enemy tries to drive deep into our hearts, especially when life is hard, trials are long, or circumstances are difficult. And I loved that because he's like, look, when we go into the temple, we're blessed with these things that will give us confidence. And then once we have the confidence, then he blesses us with all of these other things. I just think that's exactly how it works with the way God blesses us. He's like, let me give you these blessings so that then I can give you some more blessings.
Yeah. I love that. What a powerful two paragraphs. And in a way, Rivka, I think you hit on the heart of the whole talk here, which is, it almost felt like he was repeating the same things over and over and over, right? Like, go to the temple and you'll get confidence, and then you'll be blessed, and then go to the temple and then you'll get more confidence, and then you'll be blessed.
But like at different levels, right? Like it just keeps going and going. So yeah.
Yeah. Have you experienced the pinnacle of divine connection, Rivka? Have you had that experience?
The pinnacle of divine connection. I think I have had moments where I have felt close to that.
Yeah. I think you're not giving yourself enough credit, number one. I think probably you have it more often than you maybe imagine you are. This reminds me of Elder Klebengatz, or however you say his name. I don't know why I can't talk, where he was talking about having, what was it, Burke, this having the Spirit with us every second or something like that. Yeah, I think, you know, that talk really helped open my eyes again to just the idea that you know, we can have this more often than we think we can or do, or maybe we already are having it and we're maybe not living up to the privileges God is granting us. So humility is not underplaying that strength or power. It's turning over your life to the Lord and relying on his strength instead of your own. So, okay, awesome. That was one really long invitation and blessing as well, Rivka. So let's keep going with that theme. And Aaliyah, what other invitations and blessings did you find here?
Well, my fundamental doctrine was kind of that too.
Indeed.
Changing our preparation, therefore, changes our lives. And another one that I highlighted was a humility one that Burke read. So yes. let's go to my other invitation that I highlighted. He said, therefore, all of us should intentionally enhance such binding by having our next appointment scheduled with the Lord in his holy house, whether the temple is near or far away. So this one, the way I read it, seems like very specific and not inherently spiritual on first glance. Literally just at, like, if you have a temple appointment that day, then when you get out of the temple, schedule your next appointment. Like, always have another appointment for the temple. But I'm sure that shifts your mindset a little bit. Just having that, I guess, moment to look forward to spiritually and prepare for spiritually. And also, if it's scheduled, it's less likely to just get missed, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was one of his invitations.
Awesome. As a concrete thinker who loves the checklist approach to the gospel, this one resonated with me. And as soon as the session was over, Deanna and I were like, okay, let's put out our next appointments. Let's do it. So thanks for bringing that one up. I personally loved that invitation. So Burke, what other invitations did you find?
All right. He says here, we all should be perpetually preparing to go to the house of the Lord.
That pairs well with what Aaliyah just said. So tell me more about that one. How do we do that besides making an appointment?
Well, he talks in that same paragraph a little bit later about a stake that's adopted the motto home-centered, church-supported, and temple-bound. Mm. And he said bound is great. It means like heading towards something, but also it means fastened to or secured by, resolved and determined, sure. So being temple-bound secures us to the Savior, giving us proper direction and stability. So again, it's focusing on the Savior and I would say the gospel fundamentals, but with the aim of I am making myself more prepared to go to the house of the Lord, you know, on Friday or next week or the week after that. So
awesome. I love it. the footnote to that section on bound refers to the dictionary. So I think Rivka probably appreciated that footnote, right, Rivka?
Every time.
awesome. Did you find any other invitations, Rivka?
The one I picked is kind of in the form of what sounds like a testimony, but there's an invitation that I love that's in kind of mixed in it. He says, I know that when the Lord sees even a spark of desire or a flicker of righteous effort in our willingness to center our lives on him and the ordinances and covenants we make in his house, he will bless us in his perfect way with the miracles and tender mercies we need. So for me, the invitation is that spark of desire or flicker of righteous effort. A lot of times it feels like maybe that's all we have to give. And if we give that, then the Lord can begin blessing us and he can get us on that iterative path where he just blesses us with more blessings after he blesses us with blessings.
So we don't have to be at the pinnacle. We don't even have to have the pinnacle in sight. We just need to take the first step.
Yeah, I remember when he gave this talk and I listened to it for the first time, that phrase really stuck out, that spark of desire or flicker of righteous effort, because that is very doable for all of us.
Yeah.
Each day.
Yeah. When we moved to the Midwest and started going camping for ourselves or with, you know, the Boy Scouts or the young men or whatever, when you are living in Utah or Idaho or Colorado and you find sort of dead wood around your campsite and you light it up, it lights on fire. When you do that in the Midwest, it does not light on fire.
Nothing happens.
and it takes a lot of work and a lot of effort, but I like the imagery here of, you know, it might take some time. It might take nursing that little spark or that flicker, but that's all it takes to start. You don't have to have the roaring fire. Or, you know, Joseph Smith described his pillar of light in his first description as if the trees were on fire. So you don't have to have the roaring fire of the pillar of light. Just get that one little light going and eventually it will become that fire or that pillar of light. So I love it. Okay, well, that's another great talk. And I feel like we captured the core of the talk, but I still feel like there was more to it. So again, as we say so often, go read that talk because there's a lot of depth there. And I think you could study it over and over and really keep finding new things. Next one we're going to discuss is called Integrity, a Christ-like Attribute by Elder Jack N. Gerard of the 70. And in the meantime, Ali is going to tell you how to get a hold of us.
You can email us at wordsoftheprophetspodcast@gmail.com, or you can message and comment on our Facebook and Instagram at Words of the Prophets Podcast.
All right, so thanks for joining us today, and until next time, keep the...
If we teach by the Spirit, and you listen by the Spirit, some one of us will touch on your circumstance, sending a personal prophetic epistle just to you.